Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And back for another week of the fifth and last NRL podcast. And for the first time this year, I'm sitting next to Brock. What's going on?
Bye week, mate.
Bye week. How's the last few days been? Good?
Satisfying.
Satisfying?
Yeah.
Good weekend?
Let's leave it at that. Yeah, very satisfying.
Well, I think I can kick things off appropriately, and I'm going to do it on your behalf anyway, regardless of whether you want me to or not. Penrith Solar Centre, powerful moment of the week. The two results over the weekend. Obviously, Friday night was good after being down on the scoreboard, a good second half comeback, and then cut on the weekend, a very good result as well.
Yep.
So, yep. Personal one still out there, brought to you by Penrith Solar Centre, 1800 20 29 30, Jake and the crew there, or visit penrithsolar.com.au. Obviously been up in the Riff for the last few days, so a bit of time off for everyone this week, a couple of days between the bye.
Yeah. NRL travel back Friday night, Cup travel back Saturday night, and then did like sort of medicals and recovery and all that jazz over the weekend, and then yeah, into a week off. So players will get away, and or they'll just lay low for the week. As coaches, we'll sort of tidy some things up. Went in and did a visit today with the GWS Giants, spent the day with them out at Homebush. So that was, just cool. Really cool to see it done from a, you know, different perspective, different sport.
Bit of professional different development.
Approach. Well, yeah.
Something like that.
It's a bit of a floggy sort of
thing. Yeah, I know. But that's what people do in real estate or other terms when they cross, you know, to see other people's processes.
It's just coaches hanging out, coaches watching other coaches, yeah, trying to just pick up little bits and pieces and just get a different perspective. So Adam Kingsley and Jason McCartney. Jason McCartney's the GM of footy there, and Adam Kingsley's the head coach. Both really good operators. So, I'll be watching the Giants closely. I went in on Anzac Day and watched their team preview prior to their game against the Lions because they were down in Canberra. And that was, really cool. Just, it's a completely different game for a lot of the nuts and bolts in regards to coaching, teaching, education, presentation, leadership. Like, a lot of it's very similar. But the technical, tactical, even seeing how that's presented, cut up, delivered, analyzed was cool.
And that's what I was sort of asking you before. Ours is obviously more an approach of offense, defense, and the groups are breaking things down a little bit different, but because they've got different parts of the fields, different lines, I was wondering if it was more individual into the groups as it was a whole team approach, or would you say it's more
layered? We do that, like we do sort of units.
Or would you say theirs is more layered or more individualized to
I think
groups?
It's pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
I just think their roles are more specific.
Yeah, to the part of the field.
Because they're not necessarily connected in a line. Like, we're always connected in some sort of line. And it's a north-south game, whereas theirs is 360 with different sections. So, sort of tucked. But when you really pull it all apart and you take the complexity out of it, they're both very similar in relation to coaching and leadership and presenting. And
is old mate first year or second year? Because the guy was there. Yeah, I thought so. Old mate.
Second year.
Cameron.
And look, he's as impressive as anyone I've ever seen coach.
What like his name? Something Cameron was the guy before, wasn't he? He was the one who took after Kevin Sheedy.
But he's the Adams there. Super impressive. Impressive guy. So, yeah, extremely lucky to go in there and watch them. They're going good at the moment. They lost on the weekend, but
they're at the top, mate. They're top four.
They're third now. Swans are first. So that was a pretty big game for them on the weekend. Just even the players, like being able to see the players interact and how they are. Like, they're the same as NRL players. Like, they're all young kids and different personalities. And seeing some of the one-on-one meetings today. Yeah, it's really cool. You got to pinch yourself going, I'm getting paid to do this. It's cool.
Sport, mate. How good.
Yep.
That was the dream all along. So how good is that? But let's jump into some football that happened over the weekend, and we'll start the Thursday night game. And then there's a few talking points at the end. How much we can talk or not, I don't know. But we'll have a look at that when we get to it. But Panthers, Souths, obviously the tumultuous week for South Sydney. I didn't have a whole lot of hope with the short preparation, the turnaround. I didn't think it was going to be one of these cases where people say, coach is out, it's a bounce back factor. Like, what's going on there is just been a car crash, and it turned out that way. There was obviously the sin bin early to Tungo, but by the points they got in that period, I thought Souths were pretty much, as they've been all year, pretty poor. And what really summed up for me was the tap from Dylan Edwards. There was a pretty good chase effort on that one. Once it went dead, the whole left-hand side, I paused it. Seven players didn't even make it back past the 20 by the time Dylan Edwards got there. He had the whole left side of the field to throw that pass to Taylor May. And again, I don't really need to add a whole lot more to it, because that pretty much to me has just been CS this season, regardless of who's in charge.
Yeah, essentially.
There was probably the other thing that really got to me. I'd seen little bits of it, but even Murray, like Murray's been pretty stout. There was a few interactions or frustrations between players on one of the missed tackles or some goal lines. It's obviously been a real tough period. I don't really see how it gets better, whether it's Hornby or whatever's going on for the rest of this season. I think this year's going to be a pretty rough ride for the rest of the run.
Yeah, when you move your coach on, that's almost a concession that you're looking ahead to next year.
And I know still talk about Bennett and the years and Dodd now being on, but everything that's happening right now is pretty much just, to me, that doesn't hold a whole lot of weight with what's going on right now. And the fact that as of the weekend as well, on top of some of the injuries and issues they did have, Jai Gray, sadly for him, surgery after being one of the few bright sparks. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Murray, hip flexor, they're saying similar, probably 6 weeks minimum, possibly eight. And Hawkins blew his quad kicking that ball. So that again, they're saying maybe 6 weeks. So
wow.
Expecting a huge reshuffle this week. They get Luttrell and maybe Johnston back, but I'm assuming Whiten's going to have to go to six with Cody. You'd think Luttrell would go straight back to one. Outside backs, if Johnston's not there, like you're going to have to move Tass back in, maybe with Chi, Thompson, Gagai, sort of piece it together. And then, forward pack-wise, similar deal. Like, you've got Host suspended, couple of injuries there. So I think the one thing, and a lot of people brought this up last week, it's funnily enough, the timing of knocking JD was coming into the better part of the draw, the coach to maybe try to justify, add a little bit more weight to it. I still don't think they're going to get through this better part of their draw easily, that's for sure. So,
yeah, I don't know.
Even looking from that perspective.
You know, my opinion on the draw.
But dominant by the Panthers, not surprised. 10 line breaks to one, 1900 metres to 1100 metres. Like, they averaged 44 metres to set to 30. And they pulled Cleary out. They said it was precautionary. In a game like that, I'm not surprised they did that. They got Origin coming up, bigger fish to fry. 5 day turnaround from Townsville with a hamstring. Why risk it?
Well, they're in a position where they don't have to.
No.
Simple as that.
So,
I think that's probably, whether that's actually the issue or not. Different story.
Stock standard has been the case, why he's been sort of in and out. Dylan and Yo have been incredible this year. They've obviously been incredible during the run, but in particular, this past 5 or 6 weeks, while Sorensen and other guys have also been missing, Fisher Harris, etc., they've had ins and outs the whole time. Those two, week on week, are just brilliant.
Yep.
So, moving on from that one, keep an eye out for what gets named tomorrow for South. But yeah, definitely a bit of a patchwork quilt going to be happening there. Manly, Canberra, as we spoke about. 26-24. You're looking at this one, and the start of the first half, it was pretty much one-way traffic. 20-0, 27 minutes in, the Hopewade bin at a time where the penalty count, I think there'd been 10 penalties total in the game. It was 9-1 with penalties and six agains. A couple of those were brought up from errors. You know, you had a drop ball on a cleaned up of a kick. It was on the chase there for Cherry Evans, etc. And things discipline wise or being off the back.
Two of the tries we handed him.
Yeah.
No.
Similar deal, evened out the other way with a couple of errors as well. But that little period at the back
and end. One, like they handed us. The Levi try, the KO Weeks try was handed to us.
The back end.
So there was essentially three tries there, which the opposition was handed to each other. Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, back end of the half, like you said, after that sort of rough period there with the penalty six agains in the bin, Whitehead comes up with a little bit of magic, picks off that Jake pass, and that flick for KO, who was pushing through, was outstanding.
Mm.
So that gave a bit of a spark heading into half time. And then come out second half, again, good resilience showing in the fact that Garrick obviously banks that early try and gets it to 24-6. But from there on in,
you guys. Well, Garrick also kicked two from five. So
missed a few. Make a difference. Val Holmes and him both over the weekend.
That was big.
Pretty big in that regard. But
particularly in the wet.
Mm, most definitely. But after that, I thought, yeah, you guys obviously started to get some football, started to play up their end of the field, built some pressure. You obviously got Whitehead with that crash over pretty close to the line, just got low on Tom, found him in the line. Error, like you said, from Waddell was just a gift to run away. And then the play two kick I thought was good ID. They found Tom pretty much up in line trying to charge that down.
Yep.
Caught him out. So, and even on the last one, thought Strangey, considering that kick going through, like Tom wasn't quite in the line, not quite back. It was a bit of no man's land. So you couldn't have put that kick in a better spot for Hudson. Hudson's one of those guys the last few years. He's fantastic on short kicks in terms of chasing and getting there.
Yeah.
It's a real knack. And Canberra's had a lot of them. Croker was really good for a long time at doing that. Hudson sort of turned into another one, particularly like ground kicks or short kicks. Croker was very good in contest and stuff, but it was a hell of a second half to turn around. Real resilience shown by the group and obviously a huge night, particularly for two kids playing in the halves together.
Yeah, look.
To have some big moments.
There was no panic in the room at halftime. And I thought that showed just in how, even when Manly scored that try and went up, you know, 24-6, there was no panic. So, yeah, held our nerve and got a result.
Mm. And again, I think the discipline showed under the pump with the penalties, with the scoreboard, to turn things around and just keep plugging away and then end up getting the result was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, if you're down 20-0, you're down 9-1, you struggle in that regard, you have the bin period, it could have been
another. We can reach for an excuse so we can get on with it.
Yeah, but it can turn into a situation, obviously, like last week, where a game gets out of hand or gets away from you. But they didn't do that. They dug in. There were some really good signs, like I said, from the two halves. KO especially. I think that would have been a real good confidence boost for him. Ex-club, playing in the halves, second week.
We didn't really mention that during the week, but
for a general confidence thing, like to do it that nice, that ground where you've played all your junior football, transitioning between being a fullback or a half, like it's a real good confidence booster with some of the moments he pulled the other night.
Yeah.
So you definitely take away, I'm sure, a lot from that performance. And, you know, there were some other good ones in there. I think as always, Tarpany week on week's really good. Hudson was busy. I thought Chris got through a lot of work in the wet. Helped out a fair bit. And Elliot was a good on return, obviously.
He was excellent.
Critical moments and bit of class.
Elliot, yeah, that was the best off game, you know, game I've seen him play for the Raiders. I can't remember a better game.
I think he had some really good ones early on when he had obviously a bit more leg speed.
But recently.
Of a genuine edge, but yeah, compared to the last few years.
Game defining his performance. He was, yeah, outstanding. And just the week, having seen him during the week and the impact that he had on the team, particularly post the Sharks game, such a good leader, and both through words and through actions, and then brought out on the field.
Mm.
You know, if he's not on the field and it's 20-0, you know, it might end up like it did the week before. So
yeah,
to have him there and to be able to compose the group and keep him sticking to the plan and believing in it, and then having a composed approach at half time, you know, I thought your two leaders in Ricky and Elliot, just to be composed and calm, particularly with young players, like it gives them a good base to know that they've got people who trust them and back them, irrespective of the scoreboard.
And good timing, obviously, by you get Elliot back, there's probably a better chance. I think Rapp will be closer, Red will be a bit closer, so hopefully a few more troops back on deck in a week next week or two as well.
Yeah, I don't.
No, I'm not saying
too much about whether they
general time will ones, be. You'll hopefully be closer to getting a few troops back.
That those, yeah, those couple are still, yeah, probably a little bit more than 2 weeks away. But we'll see how they go in this next little 2 week period. Hopefully, they can get back ASAP. Mm.
On the Manly side of things, I guess the biggest disappointment, once Cherry Evans got off his charge, when you're missing Fogarty on the other side and you're up 20-0, you would have expected him to control, kick and maybe be, you know, a bit more steady in the second half. But to have him Brooks, Turbo, and probably not control it. I think that's the biggest thing they'll be disappointed with in terms of who they had in their spine and their key positions to try and close out a game. So disappointing, and it's another one, a bit like the Para game. There's been a few so far they've been involved with like that where their defense has probably let them down more than anything else.
Mm.
Got a great...
the coach said they got what they deserved.
Yeah, they certainly they did. Get what they and that's the point. I think one thing for me with them watching them, they certainly don't struggle with any enthusiasm towards the attacking side of things, but still some things left wanting at times with their defense, particularly the way they defend on their edges. But moving on from that one, Broncos Roosters. This was a strange old game. And I think for the Broncos side of things, you're not really so much worried about the score. You're more worried about the bodies that you lost, because it's been a costly sort of start to the season. They've had blokes in and out. And then this is the first week that everybody was back on the field pretty much. This looked like their best 17. There's a few guys obviously come in with a bit of a cloud. Haas had on Eagle during the week. Nam and Cobbo were questionable, but everybody pulled through. But then to get into the game, Arthurs breaks his jaw, and then obviously the critical blow of all was Reynolds obviously tearing his bicep. 12 to 14 weeks, they're talking.
Yeah, it's not a nice injury. And he's similar sort of player to what Jamal is for us. So.
Kick, control, steers.
Yeah.
I think like there's gas all over the field for them, but just that person to be able to direct it and put the chess pieces where they need to be at the right time. I think Mam showed some pretty good signs, like his response when he went off the field. They obviously come up with 2 tries and got it back to 18. So I thought in that regard, it wasn't a bad response. But from there onwards, obviously, the Roosters sort of come back over the top. But the biggest reason for that, once they got back to 18, oh, Dane Mariner's hit on Tedesco really, really hurt. They did well to get themselves back there. They particularly did a good job trying to get across field and open up that left-hand side, that turn back under. They got Love a couple of times there. But, yeah, once Mariner went to the bin, the Roosters just ran right, and that's really where the game broke open. I think for them, 100 points in 2 weeks, good confidence builder. I'm still not sold off the last 2 weeks, though. Like, in terms of the inconsistency, the week-to-week for them so far. Then looking at some of the parts in that performance as well with players going down on the other side, the way their edges especially got shifted once you lose both your wingers and have your half off the field, really left them pretty susceptible. But there's no doubt about the quality the Roosters have got. Moments like Dom Young's offload back in field, Angus Crichton looked like he was just shelling peas. The amount of line breaks and how damaging he's been. Probably the one thing I will take a little bit of solace in is it seems to be forming a bit more of a play style. At the start of the year, week to week, I couldn't figure out what the Roosters wanted to do. But I think the most important thing is they're playing more direct.
Yeah.
And playing more direct is leading to, you know, breaking down lines or getting at halves and then being able to move the football. Teddy's playing straighter, I think, as a result of those back rowers, big bodies. I think the other one, last 2 weeks, hugely underrated. Like, we talk about wingers and yards, but Dom Weapon is actually a legit weapon from the wing.
Yeah.
He's more than just a bloke who's going to make meters or be a kick target. He can legitimately be a game breaker, along with Amanu, along with other bodies. So, yeah, but for them, they got their own concern with cheese. But other than that, come into it, lost Tupou, Radley, JWA. So I'm missing a few that would have played. But, yeah, I just don't really know what to think of the Roosters at the moment. When they're on, they're very much on. But they've had a few performances that leave you a bit head-scratched. So, again, I think they're more one of those teams until after Origin, health-wise and that, where they're at. They'll decide whether they're going to be a threat or not. But, yeah, with Walker, Manu, Dom Young, a couple of guys back the last few weeks, Angus, there's some guys certainly starting to trend in the right direction. But for Brisbane, I think the big question here, everyone says about Jock, but I thought he had a pec injury.
Yeah, he's out for another month.
So if he's not in, I guess it's how they reshuffle. There was talk today about Walsh moving to the Haas, but I think that's ridiculous. I think if you were going to make a move, you just bring Saylor in. Or if Falsey's still on a training trial and you want a more genuine seven or someone to kick and control, you'd bring him in. But also the long-term plan for them is Mam to be the seven. So if that's the case, and he took control for that bit the other night, I'd think you just put Saylor in, wouldn't you, at six? Leave Walsh at the back, and he can help out with the kicking.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be moving Walsh. That's the one piece you definitely don't move.
Yeah.
So Arthur's, naturally there, you assume Oates will get that spot and come in there. But I guess for Brisbane, buys through Origin, 3 buys across the year, some games that are possibly winnable for them. Now it's all about just getting yourself in the best possible position you can and getting Reynolds back. May not be top 4. That may be a bit of a stretch depending how things fall, but if they can get all the other chess pieces on the board at the back end, then add him in and get a couple of weeks under his belt, who knows with them at the back end.
Mm.
They could be a threat from the bottom half of the eight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think top four might be a bigger ask at this point in time. Dogs, Tigers, 22-14 on the Saturday. This was a game, obviously, a lot of people were talking about frustrations around challenges and the way the game panned out. And probably the big boil over point was the hip drop or dangerous contact, not going to the bin. A lot of things seemed to stem from there and sort of spiral for that last 15 or so minutes. Look, I think the whole vitriol and abuse around the referee thing's terrible. And the way some people have reacted or carried on about it, like, they don't always get everything right. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, like, what some of the stuff I've read or seen is absolutely disgraceful. But on the flip side of that, this game in general, I think for the Tigers, and Benji admitted as much as himself, I thought the first half they were pretty good. They were pretty stout, but I think he pretty much summed up when he said in the second half, we dipped our toe in the water and we didn't want to do the same things that we did in the first half. And our discipline sort of let us go, and it come about in that first 20 minutes. Bulldogs got a couple of penalty goals, got a try. Burton come up with a nice piece of play from the ball that hit the deck, just shelled an edge there and found Bronson Cherry, and they pretty much just took full control.
Mm.
And as things got further and further along, I think that flash point with the non-sin bin moment and things getting a bit testy, it just boiled over. So I guess for the Bulldogs, things have certainly been on the up, been much better form since they've formed this back five and really unlocking that left edge. And I think certainly having kick out there the whole year so far compared to a handful of games last year has really been an asset for Burton's confidence.
Yeah, they're developing as a team, no doubt about that.
Mm.
The quality in their roster certainly improved, and they're building some cohesion in key positions. They've also, you know, their injury crisis, I guess, has stemmed a little bit as well. So starting to get some players back and get some continuity.
Yeah, I think Tigers, Arpy's obviously always a big out. They had some nice moments with Buller in the first half. Galvin's been extremely impressive and busy the whole time, but I'm going to be more interested to see now how he plays without Caesar for the next month.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people talk about that as a bit of a flashpoint. I don't think that's overly confusing in terms of the charging. So people are like, well, Tago, him, can't understand the big difference in grading. The biggest difference was one was a grade three, one was a grade two. I thought Caesar's was a lot more intentional in terms of the action and like completely losing your legs and slingshotting in. Tago's, I know, results in a hip drop and he swings around, but I thought he sort of pivoted around from his initial contact being a bit side on. So I'm not saying it's not a hip drop, but I don't think the intention was anywhere near. Like, people are bringing up the result. Like, you can't just look at the result all the time. I know one had surgery, the other didn't, but Caesar's was like ugly, just completely deploying both legs and pulling.
I think it goes back to that argument. Is it intentional?
Mm. Well, I thought Caesar's was certainly intentional. I didn't think Tago's had anywhere near the intent. I thought it was more just the result of the tackle.
Yeah.
But also, one is a first defense, the other's a third and subsequent, which is why he's been slammed.
So that's his third hip drop.
No, three dangerous contacts already in nine rounds.
Yeah.
So when you do that, you automatically get the loading and you can't downgrade.
Yeah.
So he's going to put himself in a position where he's had one in round two, round five, and round nine already. So three dangerous contacts, straight away you're getting suspended.
Yeah.
But the way they've graded it, or Annesley said today, he didn't class it as a hip drop per se. He thought it was dangerous contact.
Okay.
So the fact it was grade three and a third and subsequent has ended up in him being suspended for a month. That's probably the biggest difference that people have missed.
Mm.
I don't always agree with the loading system, but again, if you've had three dangerous contacts in 9 weeks,
yeah,
that's pretty much on you.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they weren't all hip drops, obviously, but yeah, you've put yourself in that position if you're going to pick up a fine every 3 weeks. It's not exactly ideal. But yeah, the option from here would be Sullivan. His couple of games so far haven't exactly been the greatest. I think Caesar has been pretty good at just letting Galvin be him, which his running game is first priority and playing at the back. Whether Sullivan can sort of unlock him, he's a bit more of a runner or a free spirit himself. That's probably the biggest thing that probably more important for them now that RP gets back healthy. But also, I think they're going to have to navigate part of the year without him because I think he's a shoo-in for Origin if he's healthy.
Yeah, agree. Explains it for him.
Yeah, I think one thing I would say for the Tigers, though, they haven't given up in any game they've played.
No.
Things have been good. To get Taruva last week, that's a good signing.
Mm.
Another good one to land. So to have him, Luai, and a couple of that core group next year, and blood through a few more of those kids, things are trending in the right direction, you'd say.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, I get some frustration out of this one, but yeah, the ending's certainly not good. Clemmer, biggest thing there, people talk about, like, you're not the captain, don't talk to the ref. You can be as frustrated as you want, but if you keep going at her and keep going and keep going, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't blame that situation. The one thing I will say, and obviously you're not going to agree with this, but, and I'm a complete neutral, obviously, in terms of this right now, someone needs to punch Reid Mahoney. If you're going to get binned and he gets to run in and chirp and do what he's done to a couple of blokes right now, if I'm a big forward and he comes in third man, I'm cracking him. If I'm going to get 10 or I'm going to get suspended anyway, I'm punching Reid Mahoney. Because it's got to a point now, he's like, oh, I'm back at my mates, so I'm doing this, that, and the other. Like, I'm not big on justice for most people, but at this point in time, that bloke's just taking the piss. He did it again on the weekend and aggravated that situation.
He's doing what the game allows him to do.
Exactly. So, a little bit of natural justice. Someone like Hetherington, who I thought might have given him a bit of a scare the other way.
I don't think someone needs to punch him. I think they need to put him in the bin as well.
Well, he should have.
Because he's playing a role in some of these melees, no doubt about it.
Mm. Clemmer was starting to walk but after.
Also, the game, that's the way the game is now. So, you need to adjust and live with it. As an opposition, sort of going, well, just don't buy into his, you know, his antics.
Mm. Well, it's certainly working for him so far. He's got under the skin of a few people.
But he'll keep doing it. That's what I'm saying. Mm. He'll keep doing it while...
Well, maybe they need to send him a concerning act or something like that.
They probably already have.
Because, yeah, he can frame it however he wants and saying, oh, you know, just run in for my teammates. That melee was just what two blokes grabbing each other because he wasn't happy. He's come in with a big cheeky smile on his face and grabbed him and revved it all up and turned into an 8-man... You know, handbags at 10 paces. So, yeah, used to be a little bit of natural justice, not him all, which I understand, but he keeps going. He's going to find someone that will probably meet him. But, yeah, kick out. Really, really good again. Burton, that confidence building, and their back five's been great. Curran's been a really underrated boy. He's done a fantastic job and always helps when you complete across the game at 93%.
Yeah.
So that certainly helped them in the second half in that result. Storm Titans. Storm this year have turned into a Cronulla of old and Canberra of old a few years ago. They've got a 7-1 record. 6 of those 8 have been one score games. 5 of those wins. So they've won by 4, lost by 2, won by 2, won by 2, won by 6, and won by 2. And in between that, they had the 8-0 game against Penrith and the 34-point win over South. So it hasn't been pretty. There's been some ins and outs, like no Nelson. Pap Hughes missed a few weeks, Munster missed a few weeks at the start, but they're finding ways to put wins on the board. So similar deal for me with the Roosters. Like I really don't think we're going to know what Melbourne are and how much of a threat they are until post-Origin, who's on the field. The biggest part of this one, obviously, is Pappenhausen, who's put 9 weeks together and looked like he was building something nicely. The bloke literally just, I don't know if he's walked under a ladder, broken mirrors, or how many black cats he stepped on, but to see him get injured again, in just another like contact injury,
yeah,
like an incidental thing, is just really sad for the bloke.
Yeah,
I guess you know of all the highlights you can take out of it, they're saying it could possibly only be 4 to 6 weeks, best case.
Yeah,
but it's a fracture above where he's had the plate done. So I sort of watched it today. I couldn't figure out whether it's his leg when it got stuck or whether it's when Brimson comes down on top of it, sort of in the motion. But it's just another one, bro. It's just a contact injury.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, he's injury prone. I'm like, well, there's being injury prone when you, you know, have soft tissues or repeated tear. Like, impact injuries like that are just accidents.
Mm.
Having your own teammate take your leg out from under you, smashing kneecaps with a bloke at full speed. Again, someone landing on a leg like cracking, like, they're impact injuries. They're rugby league accidents. It's just really unfortunate that somebody has such a bad run. But his first half was quality. He had a hand in absolutely everything. The link between him and Munster, particularly left-hand side, playing off Harry. The other connection that's built really nicely, really quickly, is Blore and Munster.
Yeah, Blore's playing good footy. He's having an impact, running good lines.
Popped a couple of nice offloads, like makes Munster more of a threat for the fact he's got him on the outside. But they're playing together really nicely.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a real nice synergy starting to get going between a lot of the spine players. One of those tries in particular was that one. It was Harry, nice and long. Munster digs. Blore hits the line, pops it back in. Pat Munster linked back up. Like, things were looking really, really nice, especially after the Titans applied pressure early and got the first try through Kieran Foran, who, must say, those old legs, mate, that bloke, he's going to just keep going until the wheels fall off, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a goer.
I like him.
Oh, I love him too, but you just watch him sometimes. Like, man, dude is an absolute weapon. He loves football because his body, he's hurting. But there were some real good football plays. The scrum play, I think the Titans sort of muffed that one. 4-on-3, they didn't number up. Pap Cam again, nice link to get it to Brick. What was the last one I was thinking about? The sewer play is just another glimpse about how much talent that bloke's got.
Yeah.
Turning defenders inside out. But second half, it turned into a real war for Melbourne. Obviously, Papnauson went off. Sewer had the HIA and then had a knee problem, so he succumbed to that. And they put themselves in a bit of a spot as well with those injuries where they had to reshuffle their edges. So they got a little bit exposed. But the Titans have been real, really good the last month. After a ridiculously poor start, losing Tino, I thought all hope would be lost. But they're actually starting to show some fight. And Brimson, Foran, like particularly, and Fifita, since he's been back in, have been leading the charge, which is what you need, especially when you lose somebody like Tino. But AJ Brimson has been next level.
Yeah.
He had
He's since that Titans game, the Raiders game, he's been running an absolute muck.
Mm. And I think more like what you said, just watching him pinball around, like when you saw him live on ground there, how good he is in contact during chaos.
Yeah.
They turned him back under a few times, just something real simple, and his physicality in terms of bouncing off defenders or finding space, like he almost pulled a hat-trick out again. I know he ended up with one, but he was very nearly, you know, over the line multiple times.
Yeah.
He was a real threat. I did laugh at Phil Salmi's face because I know a lot of people weren't happy with a penalty that Melbourne got from a strip, but at the same time, I think Philip Salmi literally bounced the one that he scored.
Mm.
But that also made me laugh that Arpy got a no try last week. The Salmi one was a try, and the Thompson one the other night I thought was more in relation to what they were talking about in terms of he bobbled it. I thought he pinned it between his hands and grounded it. I didn't think he got complete control back in his hands, but I thought it was a try.
Yeah.
But if we're going to go Arpy to Thompson to Sami, where the bloke literally shook his head and knew that he didn't get down with pressure, I'm confused how Arpy didn't get a try with that one, did. But rugby league week to week, it's a confusing game at times. But Melbourne were obviously good enough.
Well, you're never going to have a consistent interpretation
when
the same person isn't making the decision.
No.
It's just like referees on the field. There's always different interpretations, and games are refereed completely differently.
Melbourne were good enough to hold on, but it's another one that could have easily been a loss.
Yeah.
There's been a few close calls so far, but I guess given the news coming out of this one, obviously Pat we know is going to be out. Sewer, no news yet, but could be missing. Hughes apparently played the whole game with a calf injury, so he's no certainty for this week, and Coates was obviously already missing. So coming into the Sharks this week, the two teams 7-1 at Amy Park, they could have 3 or 4 changes.
Yeah.
So I think if you're Melbourne right now, obviously, again, you're thinking long-term, not short-term, that if Sewer and Coates are in any doubt, or Hughes, you don't play them.
Yeah.
But for the Sharks, it puts you in a really good position, being a team that I still don't know if they're going to have a lot of origin effect. We're not going to know until we see what Madge is thinking with his first team. Certainly a few guys that are playing well enough. You think Nico would be in consideration for the 6. You'd think... Cam McInnes is sort of in his mould if he was looking for someone like that to cover a few spots or just be a tough middle.
Mm.
I don't know, centre-wise, there's been a million names thrown up as to who they'd look at for their centres. People have mentioned Raymond and that sort of vein of form, what he's done this year. Again, don't know if he'd go that wheelhouse, but yeah, I think if you're Melbourne this week or you're the Sharks heading down there, you'd be pretty happy if you see the team list tomorrow missing those 4 names.
Mm.
It's likely, and they lost Pezzett, obviously, to an ACL. So if Hughes is out, it's probably going to have to be Wishart or someone push in. Maybe the fullback and then maybe Seve or Young Tonal Pass. So it's going to be a significant reshuffle there of that spine and back five. Mm. For the Titans in this one, I still think they're really, really showing some good signs considering I thought they would just put their head in the sand. But led by Brimson, led by Fifita, but the news today, and that's probably a point to talk about, this clause that he had up until around 10, no one really knew. Everything was pretty much that he was happy. He likes Dez, everything's all good for the last month. Not a word's been said. And then it just escalated last night when the news had hit that he'd landed in Sydney and was going to meet clubs. So he's met with Penrith today. They've made an offer. The Roosters have suddenly come in this afternoon, and all of a sudden, there's no guarantee that he's going to be a Titan next year.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't think he'd be coming down to meet with clubs if he was going to stay with the Titans. I know he's got an option there to have a look.
But it has to be done round 10.
Sounds like, you know, if the report's true, that he's actively pursuing another club.
Well, you think they wouldn't have entertained him coming down for a full sit-down last minute this week if they weren't serious or he wasn't serious. So, for the Titans...
You can read between the lines, irrespective of what the club is saying.
Yeah, and I've heard a few, especially ex-players or people around here today, going, oh, why would they give him this clause? Well, the thing about it is some of the clubs in those positions don't have any choice but to give those clauses. And the Titans exactly haven't been setting the world on fire the past however many years to dictate to somebody like him or Tino, because Tino's got his new deal. He's also got a clause again at year three. Yeah. So he may have signed for 8 years or whatever it is. He's got an option every year after year three if he wants to leave.
Yeah.
So in a position of weakness somewhat, what do you do? If both of those guys say, we want this, and you say no, well, good luck finding
him. You lose him anyway.
Yeah. Well, if you don't play good football, but I guess the way things have started this year, if I'm David Fafita, I'm 24 years old, I've already made a stack of couch.
Yeah, we're talking about the original deal. You lose him.
Mm.
If you, I'm... don't have, you don't have this problem if you... don't give him the clause.
Mm.
But you also don't have him if you...
Yeah, but I think other clubs, like the ones that he's talking to in particular now, wouldn't give you that sort of clause. I think people like the Titans, the Tigers, the Dragons...
Well, they don't have to. Those
that's the
do.
Point. And that's why when people are like, why would the Titans do that? Like, because they don't get him otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think now, though, the talk goes, oh, well, what about the money he was on? I'm like, well, he's 24 and he's made a stack of money.
Mm.
But he hasn't won. Brisbane... the argument that, oh, well, he was at a big club in Brisbane. It's like, well, Brisbane were in a bit of turmoil when he was there. Obviously, that's changed, but he's not going back there. They've spent their money. But for teams like the Roosters and Panthers, who have just lost significant players and have a fair whack of coin, this is a fantastic opportunity to add a quality player and a little bit less than what he's on for the opportunity to win.
Yeah.
Because I even saw a little bit around, like, oh, well, Penrith are supposed to be a development club. I'm like, you're really going to question Penrith going into the market for a player after all the players they've lost and produced in the last however many years. And it's only sort of opened up for the fact that Fisher Harris is now obviously on the out. And there's obviously a bubble point with your junior development where you've pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed for a certain point and people have come in and pillaged, where there will be a year or two where there is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's probably a gap here or there. But this is just an opportunity in squad to add a quality player.
Yeah.
Like that, no one could say they've gone out and bought somebody of that ilk or that quality in the past 5+ years.
Yeah.
Because they haven't. So interesting to see where he lands. But yeah, I think he's got two bloody good choices if they are legit, the Roosters and the Panthers.
100%.
I guess it's, yeah, where you want to go, where you want to play, and who do you think's window's open for longer. But the core group of Penrith's obviously going to be there still for a long time. Roosters, you know, Walker, the Manu thing, people are still questioning whether he'll be there or not next year. There's some good forwards there. There's going to be some moving pieces with the spine, obviously. But two very good options if he does stay at the Titans. So for the Titans now, they're holding their gloves up. Hopefully they can maintain that. And, yeah, led by him, Foran, Brimson, etc. Very close here to knocking Melbourne off. So I don't know what their draw holds the next few weeks, but they keep this up, I dare say they're going to get away from the spoon. It's just whether they can maintain that. But the way things started, they look like an absolute fait accompli to get it. But at the moment, they look a real good chance to push that in South direction.
Yeah.
It's credit to the Titans. Dolphins, Cowboys. This was nuts. All honesty, the Cowboys are probably the most frustrating team I've watched this year, besides the Warriors. But yeah. I think Peyton pretty much sums it up every week because he just keeps saying the same things about resilience and defense. They can't go back-to-back sets in any sense. They can attack with the best of anyone.
Peyton said that, didn't he?
Mm. He's been very blunt about what it is and they're working on it, but in terms of getting a response week to week, But you see it again, just like even detail, like in tries, they left tries out there. The Drinkwater Clifford double touch moment is a bit of a miscommunication, two people trying to get to the ball. But like the Vallejo one off the drop there to Fuller, Drinkwater not getting a score off that. Like there was a few moments like that. But yeah, 14 errors again, couple of blown tries. Some of the tries they conceded way too easy. Even just the attention to detail on a kick chase. Nick Reimer, when he pops back down that right side and rolls that grubber through, Drinkwater doesn't accelerate straight away. Holmes pulls up thinking Drinkwater's got it. Then at the moment, three of them take off to try and sprint and get the ball. But it's just that simple moment of, don't just go because you have to. Like, you can go in case you need it. But moments like that, again, watching that game, they should have won. But the Dolphins and Wayne Bennett, like, full credit to them. They're tougher than a $2 stake because they're winning these games without their top-end talent. No Hammer, no Flegler, no Farnworth. Gilbert was gone at the start of the year. And they're still finding ways to put wins on the board. Plath has been a hell of a find.
Yeah, he looks a likely player, doesn't he? Good leg speed.
Well, it's sort of an odd one because when they signed him mid last year, like he's a hooker half. But he's sort of done with the Cowboys, almost done with the Reuben Cotter. An ex-hooker who played all that junior rep football, good leg speed, good defender with a bit of ball skill. But looked at his body type and thought, maybe he's thick enough in the modern game here to be that sort of skillful 13. And he's just been exactly that.
He has been, absolutely, yeah.
Like, carries tough, defends well. He chips in with the ball playing, got the skill in that regard. The one who's absolutely blowing my mind how quickly he's developed, Isaiah Katoa. The quality in his touches and the amount of space he created for Nicarima. Nicarima was having an absolute field day at the back of playing off him.
Yeah, it was Nick Arima's best game in a long time.
But even to watch a 20-year-old kid engage or like know when to give the ball early, when he needed to square out, like the one where I think they just shelled hands and he hit short for Tessie and felt pulled out because he tucked in and thought he'd trick and go. Like watching the initial on that was just nice and out in two hands, square. He held like three defenders up. He got that deep in the line. The pass was beautiful. The shell, like to the right hand side, just going through hands again. Like almost every time he squares up on a shift play or jumps to a side and picks where he's going to go. Saw some of the short side plays the other week against Parramatta. Like to think he's doing this now at 20.
Yeah, he's
If
telling.
they keep getting things right with their recruitment, like they've got Fini Fuiaki coming next year, they've confirmed that. Junior Tupou is going to join that back line, put Flegler back in with Farnworth and Gilbert healthy. Like, if he's going to be the steering wheel for that team as it builds over the next 3 to 5 years, they're going to be a very bloody good football team. A very bloody good football team. But yeah, they just refused to go away here. They were down 10 zip early after Cotter dragged three over and they stripped them on the right there for Felt, and Bostock was just in field. But yeah, that work, particularly with Katoa Lincoln, with Nicarima, the work they get out of their back five. And they make up for everything. Like, I know it was a tougher night for Trey Fuller, but they just don't go away. If you're Wayne Bennett, the way he was dancing and enjoying himself afterwards, you can see why he obviously wants to continue coaching.
Yeah.
He's obviously enjoying himself, and there's a lot swirling around him, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But Val Holmes, you spoke about the goal kicking before being critical. His goal kicking this year certainly hasn't been up to scratch.
Yeah, it just looks like he's struggling with confidence. So,
Think.
yeah, look, I think he'll come good. He's a class goal kicker,
Well, he's one of those guys
but at the
also.
moment, he's, yeah, whether he's just struggling with confidence or he's there's something specifically within his technique he's struggling with, but yeah, this happens.
I also think come Origin time, he's one of those ones that doesn't matter how he's playing. Every time he's put a maroon jersey on, he turns into Superman.
Yeah.
So I think he's had some errors and a couple of poor misses defensively, but I've got no doubt he'll sort himself out once that jersey goes on in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
But I guess for the Cowboys, that's now 4-4 pretty much.
Yeah, it
And they've
is.
had a couple that they probably shouldn't have lost. They had a couple they got away with, like the Newcastle game. But at the end of the day, and I've had this multiple weeks now, they're their own worst enemy. There's plenty of ability there.
Yeah, of
They
course.
can attack with absolutely anybody. And what they showed against Penrith last week was exactly what most have been thinking. Problem is, you don't see that for 80 minutes, and we haven't seen that across the 8 weeks or 9 weeks so far. The only thing stopping the Cowboys from being a finals team is the Cowboys. But he says the same things every week. They're clearly working on addressing them. At the end of the day, it's up to the group. whether they're going to fix the defensive problems, because you can do as much video, practice reps, this, that, and the other, but once you hit the field and you're making the same mistakes over and over again, at the end of the day, that's going to come down to them.
Yeah, it will.
So it's been a frustrating watch so far, but this was a pretty entertaining game, I must admit. But yeah, the Val kick at the end, the Nenai try, it was a very good finish. It was an enjoyable game. But moving on to the Sunday games, I can't say the same thing. Newcastle Warriors, I really struggled with. I know the weather was a huge factor, but the first half particular wasn't that enjoyable. Second half, again, a little bit clunky, but yeah, the Warriors first half just gave themselves no chance for the first 20 minutes. Errors, penalties, trying to play like it's dry with a football. Newcastle have obviously simplified things a lot, working through their middles, playing into the conditions, kicking on the grass, putting it in the wet, simplified the way they played. Jagged the first four-pointer. Warriors late in the half, Walker comes up with a good one. One of the first time the Warriors went away from some of the simple one-outs and getting sort of stemming their attack. They had that nice link pass and he punched through, but the second half felt pretty similar again. Newcastle sort of started the better of things.
Yeah, the Warriors didn't really play the conditions well. They played sideline to sideline.
Mm.
Newcastle compressed their defence, forced a lot of errors and took their chances when they had them. It's just one of those gritty, grinding games. Mm.
Mm. And summed up, again, numbers don't tell the story and everything, but they had 400 more metres, extra line breaks.
The Warriors did.
All the metres per set, they had all that go in their favour, but not able to catch. And even at the back end there, to that last set, one out, a lead on the back of a one out, and then just threw a kick up. And it feels... Tomorrow Martin hasn't exactly been as much of a running threat as he used to be. He's been very just pass first. Feels like that left side's a bit null and void now. Sort of feels like everybody is just looking for where Johnson is. And he's obviously, they're heavy on that right-hand side, but what was working last year and being dynamic both edges and popping up there, it feels a lot more predictable at the moment when they get to that right-hand side.
Yeah.
And teams are doing a much more effective job hunting from the inside or slowing down the initial play of the balls. They're probably not linking as much, I think, between their middles as what they did last year to generate ruck speed. It's. I haven't been worried for the most part, but after the weekend, I'm a little bit worried now for the Warriors in terms of turning things around. And but I certainly think that getting a few guys back in the team, like a Murata near Corey and this and that, and adding a bit more punch would help. I certainly do. But is that going to happen in time for them to turn things around? I think top four is already starting to be certainly questionable. Wouldn't say it's out of reach. Fourth at the moment is five wins. They're still only two away.
Yeah. On current form, they're not going to be in the top four.
But looking at it at the moment, I'm worried about the top eight, full stop. I think it's just the fact that there's such a logjam at the moment. There's been a bit of up and down in particular in that middle sort of eight or nine teams that certainly there's time to make up the ground. But yeah, the last three losses, particular Dragons, Newcastle, etc. Yeah, they're starting to put away some results and ones that are going to put pressure on you the back end there.
Yeah.
But Webster seems pretty confident that the biggest issue is their discipline and a lot of what they do to themselves and that they can turn around. So it's good to say that he's held his nerve. I think he's been good in the way he's spoken week in, week out.
Yeah, he has been.
But again, I guess for him, you try to also protect your players or shield your players. At some point, they're going to have to deliver for him.
Yeah,
because individually, you know, your Fanua Blakes, your Harris's, your Barnett's, there's been a few guys I think that are playing well individually, but as a whole, I don't think they're anywhere near.
Collectively, they're a little bit disjointed for sure.
I feel he got injured on the weekend, Catewell. I don't know if the Catewell signings landed quite how a lot of people thought. I know Murata's been hurt twice, but in my head, I sort of envisioned him being on that edge. Just a more damaging option, in my opinion. Thought Catewell at this point in his career might have been a bit more of your Walker style player, a 14 type guy that can cover center, middle, back row, a few different spots for him, considering Walker pretty much is like that mobile middle type they like with Jazz and that. But yeah, it's getting tough and heading into this period. I know Origin, they get a few games or a few teams like Brisbane Panthers, I think, in and around Origin time and Storm with backups or this, that, and the other, but they're going to be 4-point games for the Warriors. Because they're going to need to take points off a few of those teams, I think, to sort of make up for a few of the teams under them that they've dropped points to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's starting to be a bit concerning. But full credit Newcastle. They were slammed. They weren't playing great. everything was pretty much predicated on what would happen with Ponga and two games without him. I think if anything, it's probably put a bit more onus on everyone to do their job.
Yeah, their effort areas have certainly increased.
Tidying things up. I think their middle's certainly been better. But yeah, they had some quality during this. I think Hastings, despite being in and out, he had a very good game. Controlled things, kicked well. Brayley's building nicely back into things. Had a huge tackle on Fenua Blake at one point to save a try. Typical him. He's very, very good with his clean-up. Best. Had some quality touches. Gagai, I think he's another one that a couple of clubs might look at, even though he's probably a year-to-year prospect at this point. I think the centre market's pretty stacked, and you don't really have to pay a whole heap for a centre, I don't think, at this point in time, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody like the Roosters, who's losing a couple of quality outside backs, goes to somebody like him for a year as a bridge for a reasonable deal and an opportunity to play winning football. I've still been very impressed with Pierce Paul. I tell you what, I think Lucas as well. I think they've got a pair of really good back rows.
He's a good
Lucas
player.
is a good
Still
footballer.
like his player.
I watched him again on the weekend along with Pierce Paul and just thought, man, if you can sort of build around these two for a while, Frizz is probably at a point where with his leg speed, he'd be better off in the middle.
Yeah.
And it brings a new point. Like he rips up when he gets in there. He's still got good footwork and punch. But yeah, maybe just for them compared to St. Elliott, who I think is a bit more of a workman. Might just bring another dynamic to their forward pack when he comes back.
Yeah, it's fair.
But yeah, solid for them. But moving on, Sharkies to close things out. This is another one. Just wasn't quite Sharknado back on Monday Night Football back in the day, but they had pumps on the field beforehand trying to drain the water. It was far from pretty, if I can put it that way. I think the Dragons at times gave them all they could handle, but the second half in particular, I didn't think the Dragons were in it at all. And they were their own worst enemy.
Yeah, the conditions certainly narrowed the field and brought the sides together. No doubt about that.
Yeah, they pushed it a lot in the second half, similar deal, playing like it was dry football. Pushed that right hand side. There was a couple of passes. Ravalawa got stitched up a few times. Lomax, Hunt's kicking game was pretty erratic as well. Can't say that was the greatest in the weather, but Sharks, one of those ones you look at and go, well, it's not exactly one you want to hang up in a picture frame, but it's a win.
Yeah.
So
2 points is 2 points.
Hazleton, he's been an absolute try fiend. Steals another one. Nice moment that came of sort of breaking him off the back of an error. Nikora just seen a bit of space to tip on the outside to Katoa. Hines just played off the middle of it and rolled the big man straight through the guts. Talakai, similar deal. They isolated Hunt. They used their big mobile men effectively in the wet weather to isolate a couple of smaller players, and those two tries pretty much turned out to be the difference.
Yeah, they did.
But yeah, looking at the Dragons again, win loss, this is the first time it's gone bang bang. Two losses in a row. I still like what I'm seeing from a few guys individually, but week to week as a collective, there's still another one I can't really get a read on. I think Sewer is another one you want to talk about market that a lot of teams would be interested in. He's been playing excellent football, so I know they've sort of dilly-dallied around that a little bit and what they think his worth is. Well, I think his worth is you need to offer him a decent contract. Because I think between a club like South, if Bennett is going there, and a few others, he's a quality back row. And yeah, I don't think they're in a position to really be trying to play too much with that one. So we'd be trying to sort that one out quick smart. But yeah, I think the Sharks, again, just as a collective, really good. Brayley's had a fantastic year.
Yeah, it's
Like I know
good.
he's sort of added and goes a bit unsung for them, but I think this year in particular, there's been a little bit more about him on the ball. But yeah, Hazelden's obviously grown. Atkinson's two games. He's just a live wire, simple, just runs and does his job. Hines has been good at steering things and taking back over. And to have two young back rowers in Wilton and Nikora, I think that's a very good long-term back row.
Yeah, it is.
So, like I said probably last week, if the way they're shaping up, I think you'd be absolutely loving the thought of having Fenua Blake. But I'm sure they would have loved if they could have somehow landed him this year. Can only imagine how much that would have meant to them this year.
Yeah.
So, they're building nicely again. That's pretty much the games, mate. I've already asked you about the Fifita side of things. Penguy to the Storm. His brother's apparently his manager now. He came out today and said they talked to Melbourne and Bellamy and that they're interested, but there's no offer. Do you think Penguy could work at the Storm?
I don't know. But on best form, yeah.
Well, I think culturally, if there's two
But
places it
is
could
he?
work, it's Panthers or Melbourne.
Yeah.
I guess when that is or cap
But he's
wise.
gone to Penrith.
Yeah, and he
It
did
didn't
his job
work.
for a few weeks and he got
Well,
injured
it
and
didn't
they let
work.
him go. But yeah, that was today. Dodd, that's going to South. That was confirmed 3 years. Do you know much about him? Have you seen
Yeah,
much?
he's a good player.
I've only
Very good
seen a
player.
little bit of World Club and one or two games, but he's been there for 3 or 4 years
But
now.
again, how does that translate over here? Well, time will tell.
Would you say like he's an on-ball genuine seven, like steer, kick, control the team, or?
Yeah, they play a little bit more left and right over there. Whereas a lot of teams are playing on ball now. He could do either, but you'd think if you're going to recruit him, you'd have a plan for how he's going to fit into your system or into your team. So, are South looking for an on-baller, or are they looking for someone to slot into an area of the field?
I guess with Cody, they're probably looking for someone to steer things and kick control and try to open it up for Latrell and him. Latrell's got a few more years to go. I think Cody's only got another year on top. But yeah, once I saw that one come through, yeah.
To me, it was more like a vote of no confidence in Hawkins and Ilias, because you like Cody and Latrell aren't going anywhere. You've got
No,
Jai Gray at
well,
fullback.
Ilias also just got
It's always been
Brandon.
the question about who's going to be that half to go next to them. But
Ilias.
yeah, it's stiff on Ilias. Personally, I really like Ilias.
Yeah, I think the part that really got me was the fact that the 2 or 3 weeks when he was dropped, he clearly showed that he was
It's cut above in
the
Richmond.
choice. And an innocuous hit in the last 15 seconds has broke his leg and clear with a changeover here, they're not saying it publicly, but whoever they've lined up doesn't want Ilias there. You don't tap him on the shoulder without knowing what's coming in next. They keep saying they don't know. But you don't sign a halfback and tell another halfback can go if you don't know who's coming in. That's my opinion.
Don't know.
Because that's a
I don't
position
know.
that I wouldn't be trying to make decisions on without knowing who my coach is. So I was actually trying to figure out in my head last
Well,
week.
the only people that know that are the ones at the club and whoever's coming in to coach.
Well, again, knock me down on this one. I know I think I'm mental. I really think off the back of an injury in the last few years and the confidence knock around that they've had. It's sort of been a bit of a rehab school, but only for 12 months. If I was an Aster, I'd ring Penrith. Like people are
I
talking
feel.
about Dogs or this team or that team and throwing him in again to steer a team. I'm like, for a 12-month sojourn and to be with Cleary and being another good system and maybe rebuild him off the back of the leg, I don't think 12 months at Penrith will do him anyhow.
Melbourne.
Or vice versa, somewhere where you plug into a good system and just sit there for 12 months and play some football and get your confidence back, get a look at a new system, and then get back on the market. Still young enough, he's only 23.
Yeah.
But I felt like the start of this year, in particular, like last year when they were going really, really good, it was the right side that was dominating. And he was on the right there with Graham and Kalomtungi.
He was a West Tigers junior, wasn't he? Ilias.
I think he played ball and flag. They won a flag comp at South.
Cool.
I don't
I
know
think
about him.
originally before that
And he also played rugby union.
he was a Balmain, like a Balmain junior. I think.
Okay,
I don't
well,
know.
I don't know about his junior club, but him, Taff, and Mamazoulos were the 6, 7, and 9 when they won.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was a Balmain junior.
So, yeah, I think there'll definitely be interest, but yeah, I just think for him at this point, after what's happened, for a confidence boost, I'd want to put him in one of those maybe for a 12 months stopover. And I think someone will definitely take him afterwards. But yeah, the first one that initially popped up was the Dogs, but I think they've been linked to just about anyone and everyone that gets on the market, obviously, because they've been so active in turning over and finding players for those key positions. They're obviously big on what they're bringing through. Alex Conti, who was in their SG Ball team, along with Mitchell Woods, are both signed for a couple of years. So they're hoping that those guys are going to be progressed through eventually to being NRL halves.
Ilias came from the Balmain junior system.
Okay. So I wonder what point he went over because he played ball and flag. He played
Played
mats.
SG Ball first year with the Tigers.
Okay. So they picked him up afterwards then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot on the top of my head the other day when I was looking at the clubs or thinking, but I just thought, yeah, if I'm him off the injury and the flak he's copped in the past 12 months.
2018, he played ball at Balmain. So it must have been 2019 they won the comp, did they?
Flag.
South. Yeah. Did you say they won ball and flag, or did you say they won
They
flag?
won flag against Canberra, I'm pretty sure.
Must have been 19.
And then we had COVID, missed 2 years. So that's what I was saying when he got his debut, he pretty much didn't get trained or do anything. So the first year he got thrown in, he was off the back of no football, senior football. I can't remember what year. Might have been.
It was South Swan 2019.
Yeah, so that was against Canberra. And that was the group that Canberra's got a few of those boys in now, Xavier Savage and all that.
Yeah.
So two very good teams. Darby Medlin, is that in that picture? I think. Mm. So they both pushed a few through on both sides. But yeah, I couldn't think of too many more off the top of my head there. You got anyone else you can think of? Most of the Sydney clubs have got somebody now.
Mm.
Like Luai's going there to play with Galvin. Moses and Brown are locked up long term. Dogs have certainly got a spot for somebody. Hutchinson's not a long term solution. Penrith, I only more thought of the fact as him as, you know, potentially being a learner, or who knows, maybe they could slot him at six.
Mm.
He's a big enough body, that's for sure. But yeah, there's not many clubs, but I just thought, yeah, for the sort of situation, if you were him for a 12-month deal, couldn't see it as a bad thing. I think Schneider's signed on for two, but again, doesn't mean that him or Cole or anyone's guaranteed to start there. If Cole, like they signed Cole for 3 years and Schneider's played over him so far. So, yeah, just a thought. But hopefully for him, someone picks him up and he bounces back. It's obviously a tough few weeks when that happens too.
Yeah.
Especially you get that phone call after the injury when you thought you were going to be there long term and you've signed a 3-year extension and you're barely 6 months into it to get a phone call saying you can basically.
It's tough.
Yeah, not good for the kid, but hopefully he bounces back. Didn't have a whole lot else there besides obviously what's. Oh, I was going to ask you last week. You're this one, right? He talked about because at the time, Luke Keary, retirement. What a player he's been.
Yeah, cracker.
I only said it last year, thinking back to when we did the pod early and ranting and raving in 2014 after they'd had those few losses that he was the last piece they needed to put in. I really think he was the final piece of the puzzle in 2014. And then you look at the Roosters' two grand finals.
Yeah.
The Cronk situation, the Melbourne one, he had his hands all over that again. I thought he was very, very close. That was the one he did have his hands over. But in the Canberra grand final, he's the one who jumps the short side and starts that play. Like, it's obviously been a tough 3 or 4 last years, but I think a lot of that's taken away from people forgetting what he'd done in that period, winning 3 comps.
Yeah, I agree with clubs. That. He's just had a horror run with
horror knocks. But for his size and what he's done, he's been a hell of a player.
Yeah, he has been.
But full credit to him, like, sign on for another year, obviously, you know, rugby league's a limited thing and there's good money to be made, but he's put his health, obviously, clearly before trying to push through. And he did say that was the reason why, obviously, or not much was said about it, but I think we can connect the dots there and probably think that maybe with the way things have started again this year, and I think he's only had one knock, that maybe he's looked at it and thought, okay, maybe I can't go for another year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I sort of talked about last week and sort of reminisced on that sort of thing in those few grand finals that, you know, he's been a real factor in 3 premierships. Not just someone who's won a couple of comps. He's been a legitimate huge piece to 3 title-winning sides and could have easily had 2 Clive Churchills. But yeah, he's got one. Exactly. I think if he didn't get graded incorrectly, in my opinion, because he was born in Ipswich as a New South Welshman, he would have played more rep football too during that period the way he was playing. But other than that, mate, I don't have a whole lot, to be honest. Except there was chaos this week. There was 3 or 4 suspensions, 14 fines, and a shitload of injuries.
Mm.
So Melbourne obviously felt the pinch with a couple. Tanner Boyd, his wrist. Murray and South lost 3 or 4 more. Reynolds' injury, Arthur's. So I feel like this year, particularly the start for key position players, has been one of the more ruthless years in terms of halves, hookers, etc., fullbacks, injury-wise.
Yeah. I think it's husband.
Yeah. Like, there's been years where there's injuries or clubs get hit, but yeah, I can't remember this many spine players or sort of players like that you're looking at going, okay, missed a lot of football. And even the ins and out, like Cleary's barely played this year. We've had Munster miss 3 or 4 weeks, Hughes missed a couple of weeks. Papen is obviously in now, but now he's out again. It's been a rough year in that regard. And they're the ones that obviously end up deciding who wins competitions for the most part.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, it's certainly throwing a bit of a spanner in the works, but I guess to finish up, anything else that's new?
Very little.
No. No movies, no pods, no nothing. Nothing for the punters.
No.
I don't know if she yelled it in the buzz voice.
Yeah. I had a tragic Canberra fan come and say, "Good out, mate," during the week.
Excellent.
Was it after Captain John? So, telling me he's got a podcast of his own. I think he was going to send us a message through. I don't know whether we got one through into our inbox. I'll have a look now. He said he was going to flick it through so I could give him a plug.
Well, I've missed. Oh, no, I didn't miss one. I had something on Twitter not long ago that I read. Had a couple of nice messages last week telling me not to apologize for being a few days late, for the fact that we're working and busy and all that. So I appreciate that, because I get other people messaging me going, what happened to the intro? I was like, well, when I do the ones on Zoom with you guys now, I don't have it up in a system where I can drop in the audio, and I'm not that smart tech. I'm the technology. So unfortunately, the intro and the outro has gone by the wayside for that regard.
We don't have an intro anymore.
Well, when I do a Zoom, it's a Zoom file. I can't add it in, mate. I'd have to upload it somewhere else just to drop that in, and it's near 11 o'clock or midnight. So sometimes I don't do it. I just put the podcast up. Because I've got to get up at 5:30. Have you found said person?
I haven't.
What are you watching lately? You've got to have been watching something.
No, not a lot this last week, because we had a short turnaround, so I haven't watched anything.
He's been watching a stack of video.
Pretty much.
Stack of video.
Pretty much, mate.
Oh, back end one for the NFL people. What did you think about that Falcons draft? Sure, you've looked now.
Yeah. Well, what do you want?
Did you think the panics thing was stupid?
No, I thought the Kirk Cousins thing was stupid.
Yeah, but as a collective, do you think it's stupid to give someone $100-something million and
that's what I'm saying,
4-year deal, yes, and then draft the oldest quarterback?
I think the Kirk Cousins thing is stupid. I think they've now essentially set fire to $100 million.
Well, they have if they want to get rid of him the next year or two.
Well, they will.
Well, good luck with
they
that.
They will. If he is what they say he is, they're going
to
want to get rid
well,
of him.
Well, the part I don't get, though, they're like, he's our future. I'm like, okay, but if Cousins does what you signed him to do before you had this opinion of Penix, which, again, clearly you formed that opinion late, because if you had a good opinion of him early, you wouldn't have paid this other guy $180 million with $100 million guaranteed in the first place. If he doesn't play for 4 years, the dude's going to be almost 30.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you've got a fifth-year option him as well. And it's a first-round pick, so it's ridiculous cash for something you don't even know about.
Yeah.
So I looked at it from that perspective, and I was like, for all the weapons you've got right now, why wouldn't you have got another weapon and just moved on with Kirk? Like, you shouldn't have signed him in the first place.
Probably.
This is what you were going to do.
Probably makes a bit of sense.
You had the worst rush and sack rate again last year. Probably could have got a decent first rounder in that regard to help on that side of the ball, considering all the weapons they've got.
I haven't looked that deeply at it.
You've potentially got the greatest backup of all time, in their opinion.
Kirk Cousins?
No. Penix. They like him that much. They're thinking he's the best thing since sliced bread, but he's going to have to sit for 3 or 4 years.
He won't be sitting for 3 or 4 years. He'll either be gone or he'll be starting, which is back to my original point. They've just set fire to $100 million. Well, they've wasted a first-round draft pick.
Mm. Well, then on the flip of that, when they need to pay Bijan and a couple of guys and Pitts in a few years, they're not going to be able to pay him.
Well, they will, but they're going to have to do some shifting prior to that happening.
I enjoyed the draft. I always liked the draft. Yeah. It's good.
I didn't see much of it.
I only flicked through, but I wasn't surprised we picked a quarterback, Drake May. But from all the talk, he needs a fair bit of work. So I'd assume that Brissett will play this year for the most part, and he'll sit and learn. The comparisons get you excited when they say he's a bit like Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's a bit of a one of one.
Yeah, right.
When he came in, a lot of people didn't like him, and they said he wasn't going to be a success. That obviously worked out, but you can't bank on that.
Yeah.
But physically, his arm and the way he moves, they're saying that. I'm like, man, if he turns out to be Josh Allen, that would be fantastic. But let's just slow our roll a little bit here. Who else got me? I think Washington's a sneaky, the way they've spent and bought and built things. I don't mind Daniels.
I believe that when I see it.
But I don't mind Daniels. And the old Bears, there's been plenty of chat, but they didn't move. They sat there, took Caleb, took a receiver. Got plenty of other receivers there. So for a first pick
They're as bad as the Falcons.
Yeah, well, I think for a long time, though, for a first pick, as much as they said at the start he didn't want to go there, not many have had the sort of group that he's had to walk into. So, you know, have Keenan Allen, Moore, who was playing well with Fields, who wasn't exactly the greatest throwing quarterback, and then draft a third receiver. They're pretty loaded on offense. So I'll be interested to see how he plays first year. You'd expect he'll be starting straight away.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, they got no one else, so he's going to have to start, but yeah. I think, it's interesting first pick. The gamble they took last year with Carolina obviously paid off. They pushed all in and thought, well, we think you're going to stink. And turns out they did.
Turns out they did.
And then they blew more capital to get back into round one to pick a random receiver.
Mm.
So old David Tepper just said, day one, we have to be here on day one. So let's do it. Let's trade back in. Good work, Dave. Mm. So what's your movements like, friend, for the rest of this week?
I got the St. Dom's reunion tomorrow, the old man's birthday, and then I'll head back to Canberra.
Training or a few more days off for that?
Until next Sunday.
Excellent. So back with the fan bam, and then what's your run like? You got Dragons, Roosters, was it?
Yeah, we've got Magic Ground.
At North Sydney.
Which ain't real magic for us.
Bit more travel. And then what'd you say? It was Roosters after that.
Roosters at home.
At home.
Yep.
And then
another buy.
And
then
you're on off, aren't you? No, you got that month.
Four away games in a row.
So you're coming into a bit of a tougher period, obviously, in terms of travel.
The travel's all right. We travel fine.
Mm.
I'm
all men just for Canberra.
Especially while we're winning.
If it's local, obviously it's bus and bus.
What do you mean?
Longer days on a bus from Canberra.
Yeah.
Mm.
They do that on the weekend, played it right.
Yeah, I'm saying that, but a month of it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a slog when you're doing it week in, week out.
We'll be fine.
Mm. So where are you guys sitting so far now?
I think we're in third.
Penrith are the only undefeated team now, aren't they?
Yep.
Wins and draw.
Us and the Bulldogs have got the same record. Obviously, they beat us head-to-head. North is sitting below us, but they beat us head-to-head. We haven't played Penrith, so.
Mm.
At the moment, yeah, we're about where we deserve to be. North probably deserve to be ahead of us based on exposed form, but you know, hopefully we can improve and be able to beat those top teams later in the year. At the moment, whenever we played a top team, we've got beat, so that's a reality of where we are at.
Mm. And round 10, we're close to Origin. We'll talk about that in a few weeks, Tom.
Mm.
You reckon Madge will have a few surprises?
I've got absolutely no idea.
Quite excited this year because knowing that he's a bit of a different character.
Well, I just like that he's not telling everyone who he's going to pick.
No, he's been pretty quiet on that regard. And he's been behind the scenes apparently awesome with all the oldies and all the, like, just really wants to rally everyone around Blues and get shit pumping like the Queenslanders do. So you can only imagine him getting around, grabbing everyone, getting everyone fired up, you know, a couple of big fellas. But no, I'm excited. I honestly think
he's one of a kind and he's going to do a good job.
I think he suits that to a T.
Yeah.
With his character. But I think there'll be a few that surprise people. And not in a bad way.
I hope so.
But yeah, the way
shake it up a bit.
The way he is, I think there's a few people that have been in the washing machine just getting recycled regardless that may be out this year.
Yeah.
I reckon there'll be
There's already going to be some force changes anyway. So
yeah. Well, now that Murray's out as well, there's going to be even more.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought today, like you're talking about the McInnes's and the Barnetts and a few other dudes that were sort of maybe in that bench mix or starting mix for some of those roles, I thought, well, with him in the coaching circle, I thought there was already a few that were on the radar that would be right up his alley. But I think particularly now, we'd be looking at minimum probably 5 debutants.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. And for our Billy, I don't think there'll be too many surprises, especially given difference in depth and a couple of injuries, but they're a tough out regardless, the old Queenslanders.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
And he showed last year, even injuries in those games and a few adjustments that had to made, that they're never going to be a pushover, but yeah, I think the biggest thing this year is that we're New South Wales game one.
Yeah.
If we don't win that, we're screwed.
Pretty much.
Because I never have any confidence about a decider in Queensland.
Hmm.
So I think game one is absolutely everything for us this year. It's a must.
Yeah.
But looking forward to that in a few weeks' time. But friend, been good to actually sit next to you.
Yeah.
Rather than being on the Zoom. It's been good for everybody out there. Thanks for tuning in again. Make sure to rate and review on iTunes. Flick us a message if you got anything on board. Been getting a bit of stuff lately and been sending a bit of back and forth, some questions, whether it's been about recruitment or teams or predictions or anything else. Always feel free. Get back to you at some point in time. And other than that, be back on Wednesday probably with Timmy Witt. I haven't hit him up yet, but he's been pretty good most weeks and been available. And most people have been pretty good with the feedback there. So it's been nice.
Yep.
And he's obviously a good egg. So that always helps. We have a bit of fun.
Yeah. Good on you.
But thanks, mate. Good to see you. Look forward to catching up again over the next couple of weeks. I'm sure I'll catch you.
Sounds good.
But for everybody else out there, we got him, box head. And I'll see you on Wednesday. Enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.